Why? That's a question in our country we don't ask much. American culture, we're more interested in the what and the how. Nike commercial, anybody? Just do it. So we are very Americans. That's one of the reasons we're the great country. We are very pragmatic, practical. That's good. But if misunderstood, it can lead to what's called pragmatism. An ism. Isms are become philosophies of life, which that is a code of ethic. That's good old USA, born and bred. In fact, if you've ever heard the name John Dewey, he was a proponent of that. And the key thought of pragmatism, as a guy named Harvey Cox wrote, pragmatism is a spirit of problem solving without reference to borderline questions of metaphysical. That means, you know, thinking above, meta, above, physical, above nature. So without worrying about that out there stuff, without metaphysical considerations, man wastes little time thinking of ultimate or religious questions. Don't think of why, think of what and how can we fix the problem. So a translation of that would be, we don't have time to waste on the why, but only on the how of living. The solution to problems is what works. Results are all important, but at an overall level, I think you would agree that can become a very shaky foundation for a code of ethics or a worldview because it detaches the how. You know, orthopraxy, what we're going to do, that's important. But it detaches it from the why, orthodoxy, how we think. So ethical decisions should be, an ethical decision is one that is done free of compulsion. You should do it freely. It should be from a proper motive, but it also should be the good result or good outcome as God defines good. And it confuses pragmatism, confuses what is right with what is expedient. You know, if it works, it must be good. It's a very short-term outlook. You know, as Solomon in Ecclesiastes would say, under the sun, very temporal. Just think of short-term goals versus, here's a big fancy Latin phrase, subspecies aeternitatis, under the auspices of eternity. We're not thinking long-term. We're just trying to solve the latest problem. I mean, I'm sure you can already think, you know, politicians are good at promising that. Churches, unfortunately, we're so busy doing that we're not thinking, why are we doing what we do? So some examples. Sorry, you folks have a little more to worry about this than some. Euthanasia. To save medical resources. Why do we need to waste those medical resources on you people? Yeah, I mean, you're past your prime. Or on the other end of life, abortion for financial reasons. Let's abort the baby because of financial reasons, because it'll affect my lifestyle. So thinking like that for pragmatism reasons, we're not looking at the bigger picture. So that type of man-centered worldview directly contradicts the main message of the Bible. The universal church, the body of Christ, so churches, Christian churches around the world meeting today, we are local branch offices of the universal or small h holy Catholic Church. That just means universal. We are part of that greater body of Christ who happens to meet in this elite organization known as CFC. And so it's, what is the purpose of that? What directly contradicts the main message. The main message of the Bible, sorry to disappoint you, it's not about you. It's about God's glory. As Psalm 19 says, which is what Scott beautifully played. He almost got me, but he didn't. The heavens declare the glory of God. A symphony of praise. All of God's creation declares his glory. And then in Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, Christian, called by my name, the name of God, everybody who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. So your life, my life, as we're going to talk about here in a minute, this church family life, indeed the whole church worldwide should be, ultimately it's about God's glory, not our glory or pride. So that for us, so this is at the beginning of the new year, it's reflected in our Why and How book. A little light reading for you. Does everybody have one of these? Have you memorized it? There's going to be a test. No, but if you need one, come see me. We'll get you one. But oh, we have a lot of new members. But there's some, I mean, you can use it to start a fire for all I care. But it does talk about who we are as a church family and then some of the ways we go about that. You know, and some of my, you know, Pastor Dieter's hot button issues, if you will, but how I think God's word says we should accomplish his glory. So the why. So why are we here? Well, this is in the Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution. Let's say it aloud. The purpose of this organization, notice the legalese, I love legalese, will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto. I love that. In support of the cause of me, right? Jesus Christ, his glory. That's why this church exists. I mean, I think I would assume we would all say, duh. But how's that look like in practice, right? So, and then that's sort of our preamble, if you will, and that's embodied in our mission and statement of the policies and procedures. Reference this book. You know, you got to write everything down, but we have this stuff written down. I think it's pretty good. So using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to, : what are we going to endeavor to do? First of all, the Bible, Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11. So what about the Word of God? Listen to these words. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, God's word, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. So Psalm 19 starts off with the symphony of praise, what's called general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. But then you get down to verse 7, and it talks about, notice all those synonyms, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and what it does. God's word should be central to what we do. I think we all agree on that. So using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to honor God through our worship, praise, and prayer. Honor God, glory, worship, and praise is something not just when we're singing, we have good music here, but did you know all of life is to be worship? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, you know, one of the criticisms of the church, and probably rightly deserved, hey, we can sing on Sunday, but we swing on Monday. You know, it's not just what we do and going through the motions on Sunday. It should be all of our life. So honoring God through worship, praise, and prayer. And prayer, that is something, can you believe that the King of the universe wants to talk to us? That's all prayer is, just talking to God. And by the way, like Jesus, you know, it's not, I want a Cadillac, I want to win the lottery, my toe hurts, Aunt Mabel's third cousin has cancer. I mean, those are important. But ultimately, it flows out of our praise and glorifying God. And we are, you know, when Jesus says, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. Oh, so Jesus, in Jesus' name, I want to win the lottery. No, that means we are conforming our wills to his will. So using the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus, if it be your will, heal Aunt Mabel's bunion. But so, you know, God loves to hear about talk about our problems, but it needs to be centered in God's glory, not what we want. And a lot of prayer, you know, prayer requests, you know, sometimes can end up in a list of, you know, cosmic Santa, please give me this, this, this. You know, make my life better, because ultimately this whole world is about my life. Using the Bible as our God, we are to teach and nurture through God's word that all may be mature in Christ, discovering our gifts and using them in ministry. So teach and nurture. We study the manufacturer's handbook. I love that. I've told you guys, you know, I've had this Bible for 30 years. Georgia gave it to me and she wrote in the cover, manufacturer's handbook. I love that. And so we are studying that, or the love letter, God's love letter to us, the revelation. The Bible is not just a good bunch of good practices. It reveals who God is, who we are, and who we can be through Jesus Christ. So like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture, all God's word is given by inspiration of God. A lot of your translations say, God breathed. This is God's word breathed out and is profitable for doctrine, right thinking, why, for reproof, correcting, wrong thinking. All of us have an awful lot of wrong views of God. For correction, bad behavior, fixing bad behavior, for instruction in righteousness, encouraging good behavior, that the man of God, God's children, us, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us want to do good works? All of us. We need God's word to define what that accurately is. Not culture, not society. We have an awful lot of nice things that, you know, they would love for our taxes to pay for. But are those what God really wants? And by the way, along with that, which I appreciate about this church family, holding fast to the Apostles' Creed as our statement of faith. So that's why we say that on Communion Sunday, just an orthodox, fairly generic, but the essentials of Christianity that keep God central and, you know, who we are as sinners central. That's just a good statement of faith. And to be mature in Christ. a rather lengthy passage here from Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11. And he himself, Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed about or tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, the whole church body, is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we are a church family, a church body. We work together to serve one another, you know, do the things we have to do as a church, but for God's glory ultimately. And that's, you know, I've used Giles and Angel again. Sunscape Ministry is part of that. As we get conformed to Christ, that is a unifying thing. You know, churches, and this is part of the, when they don't understand the why, we end up getting splits over, you know, we're the First Baptist Church of the blue carpet. No, we're the First Baptist Church of the red carpet. Who cares? What is central is Christ. And that's what, as long as I'm breathing in around here, till you throw me out, we are going to keep Christ and God's word central. And we will all, as we grow to him, as we are scaped to the Son, is that a word? Sunscape. But as we are scaped to the Son, as we draw towards Christ, we will grow in our fellowship together. And then it mentions gifts for ministry. In our 1 Corinthians series, all those spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, also Romans 12 and other places. We spent all of 2022 and half of 2023 talking about 1 Corinthians. Using the Bible as our guide, we will reach our community, our nation, and our world for Christ. So reach evangelism. So the ministries, you people, you know, we give of our temporal blessings to enable the spread of the gospel worldwide. And you folks are very generous. And we support a lot of missionaries around the world and here at home. And, you know, youth ministries, evangelistic ministries, ministers to those knuckleheads we call pastors, you know, like Sunscape, but keeping the church healthy. So I commend you for that. We are a very generous church, and for a little church our size, we got a lot of money, and that's, you know, that's, money's a neutral thing, can be used for God's glory. Or so I just want you to know, I've decided I do not want a bronze bust of me up front. So just take that off the. But the community, the nation, and the world, that comes from Acts chapter 1, after the birthday of the church at Pentecost. Hear what Dr. Luke says. But you shall, and these are the words of Jesus, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you at Pentecost, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Lake George, and all Judea and Samaria, Teller County, Park County, even Como, and to the Colorado, and to the end of the earth. So our job is to be a light for God's glory that spreads and illuminates around the world. And that's through the missionary evangelist. And ultimately, is that so missionaries over in Kazakhstan can say, man, those Lake George people. No, it's for Christ, the gospel. Who is Christ? His person, who he is, and what he did on the cross. So the real Jesus, not the Jesus of my dreams. You know, I want Jesus to do all this stuff for me. Very subjective. No, the Bible reveals who Jesus is and what he has done. Our main problem is sin. And then after that, we can live for his glory. So, and then finally, and using the Bible as our guide, we will create a caring and growing fellowship where all are welcome. So even you Texans, I guess you're welcome. But fellowship, we talk a lot about it. It's in our name, community fellowship. But we are family, folks. And fellowship, you know, how is that actually defined? Food. A fellowship meal. But eating together, there's nothing wrong with having fun. And, you know, just we have a joyful church family. And I love that about you people. Where we are caring and growing. We really care for each other. We can always do better, of course. But we really care for each other. Hopefully we are growing together in the Word. And in just our ministry, as some of the metaphors that Paul used, we are knit together, you know, knit together in love. Paul's building, you know, he talks about the building metaphors, agricultural metaphors, you know, some plant, some water. God brings the increase. And we're all are welcome. That's one thing that makes my job easy. People, you know, just always have good things to say before I disabuse them of the notion. But they say, those people are so nice and so friendly, and I felt so welcome. Folks, that's important. We are sharing the love of Christ. If you don't have this, you really can't give this. And you guys do, I commend you. You do a good job. Think of James 2, you know, the visitor. If a visitor comes in your midst and you warm him and, you know, welcome him, he will feel welcome versus you sit back there and keep your mouth shut. So we are sharing the love of Christ. And a quote I got from, I think, Steve Brown, maybe I heard it first, but we are nothing but beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. That's, you know, we're not better than anybody. Well, CFC, we are pretty elite. No, but we're just a bunch of sinners that recognize the forgiveness of Christ. And because of that, we want to share it, hopefully, with the world and the nation and the community, nation, and world. So the why, and then I won't, this is not part of that message, but then, so now when we have our framework, see, we'll have to keep that in mind first. Then how are we going to do that? That's, you know, some of the hot button issues I have. But so why do you, now do you understand some of my method to the madness? You know, MSA, meaning significant application. If God wrote us a handbook, don't you think we ought to try to understand it? You know, we pastors can be really bad about telling God what we think he wants to say. You know, we take God's word and we put our own meaning into it. Shame on us. And we pastors, you know, take a verse, rip it out of context, and use that to grind our own particular axe. And 3 points of theology. You know, where do you think that comes from? You know, sin is worse than we think it is. Grace is greater than we think it is, or bigger than we think it is, and Jesus is greater than we think he is. So, you know, understanding who we are, sinners, well, that doesn't make me feel nice. I feel sort of wormy. Good. But grace is bigger. We are just sinners saved by grace. Another quote I heard. This wonderful building, we have a wonderful church building, but that is just that, it's just a building. And this is not a hospital, or it's not a stained glass refrigerator to preserve our piety, you know, as if we're more holy here. It's a hospital for us six people. Okay? So why aren't you here? You know, is it more based on your wants and needs, or is it about, you know, but there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it is subsumed under what glorifies God. And then our particular music, I love, you know, the different traditions we have, but we have to keep the why first and foremost before we do the how. And ultimately, you guys know, that's why you see this. Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. And everything else can flow from that. As Psalm 19, still that same psalm, Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this new year, this new opportunity to glorify you in our own unique Lake Georgian way. Thank you for what you are doing in this church family. And we thank you for folks you are bringing from all over. May we work together for the common purpose of glorifying you. And we just pray for just this new year that we have those opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for your patience.